prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason coexist. I am Dave, and with me is Jeff, and he is the pastor of Revolution Church.
And you can get out to our website at truthrevolution.tv. That's truthrevolution.tv. You are listening to Truth Revolution Radio.
Right.
On 13 channels across the United States, on the internet, on YouTube.
We're all over. We're worldwide, actually.
We're basically stalking you. So,
like an animal.
Now, I'd like to get our YouTube views up. We got a lot on the radio and a lot on the podcast, but you know, if you want to watch our beautiful faces on YouTube, you have the option of doing that.
If you're going to watch us on YouTube, you need to take a piece of black tape and just cover up the right side of the screen. You'd be good to go.
Hey, thanks for listening today. We're going to get into the conversation about atheism and some arguments that the atheists have made. They've said why God cannot be proven, a Star Trek argument.
What?
Yeah, that's right. They're going to rock us today with an article that they just put out yesterday. We're recording this on Wednesday. They just put this out on Tuesday about why God cannot be proven. And last week, we're working on some atheist arguments. And so we're going to continue to pull apart this atheist argument. It's a really interesting article, to be honest.
That just seems like a natural progression from last week anyway.
So we're going to stop being silly, and we're going to answer these questions about the atheists. Of course, we're going to answer Bible contradiction as usual. We'd love for you to send in your questions. You can email questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
You can go to the website, truthrevolution.tv, and ask your question on there.
It's a form you fill out, by the way. You don't just go there and ask a question.
He's looking at the screen. Hey, I was wondering.
Nobody's answering me.
So
that's probably why we haven't got any questions lately off of there, because we haven't really actually explained that to him fully.
Well, click on ask questions.
There you go.
I think most of our listeners are intelligent enough to.
Okay. Well, I was kind of pandering to the 80 and above range.
You think we got a lot of listeners who are in their 90s?
Possibly. Never know.
All right.
I'm kind of old.
Maybe. Well, for those of you who are alive during the 60s and later, Star Trek played a major role in our society. And there's this person or being in Star Trek called Q.
Right.
Dave, you want to explain who Q is?
Q is, I don't know if I can really quite explain. He's like a sentient, god-like being, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess a lower life forms would consider him to be a god, but he pretty much goes wherever he wants and pops in and out and basically harasses the crew of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And puts them through all sorts of tests. And he really doesn't care, because isn't that the way God is? God doesn't care. He puts us through all these tests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, what this article says is perhaps the strongest possible evidence for the existence of God would be if some being came down from the sky and repeated all the feats performed in the Bible. That's what the article's saying.
Okay.
But as one enlightened listener of the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast recently pointed out, what could a God do that couldn't either be done by a being such as Q or faked with high technology?
Uh-oh.
Even if the Bible were 100% true, how could we be sure it wasn't just some Q-like being screwing with us? Okay, so I gotta say, I love this question. Probably more than most questions we get.
Well, it's okay, let's be honest. It's kind of a fun question.
It is fun.
You know, because it makes people think, you know, what if? That's what what-ifs do. You know, well, what if?
Well, yeah.
You know?
And first of all, just full disclosure here, Dave and I both like Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So the very idea that we get to argue about Star Trek on our radio show here.
I like Q. Now I'm starting to not like him.
You like Q?
I'm sorry, John DeLancey.
I didn't like Q at all.
You didn't?
No. I liked the episode where Q got punished and they made him become a human, and he was like, everything was beneath him. And
well, let me rephrase. I like the actor.
You like the actor?
Yeah, I do like the actor.
So. I actually like the shows with Q now, but anyway, okay, so those of you who don't care about Star Trek, we're deeply apologetic. But to get into this, even if the Bible were true, how could we be sure that some being that comes down and starts doing all these things isn't just someone like Q?
Right. Well, you know, on the History Channel, they show the ancient astronauts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, where they show all this evidence from from ancient times where maybe astronauts have visited us. And then they start going through all the things that are like, this could have happened in the Bible because of the astronauts, you know, and stuff like that. And so,
aliens.
Yeah. This isn't a question that's new. This is a question that's been asked quite a bit over the last couple of decades, probably.
Yeah. They go on. I'm just going to read a little bit more of this really fun article. If you hypothesize a being that's outside of the laws of the universe, how can a being like a human who's constrained by those laws ever be able to evaluate evidence that demonstrates the existence of the being outside those laws? The answer is you can't. There is no experiment we can do, no observation that we can do to distinguish between an advanced alien and God. Now, okay, I got a lot of answers to this question.
I know you do.
I got a lot of answers to this question, but the first thing that pops into my mind is, do they really think there's a being like Q that exists? A non-God who has all of God's powers?
Well, I mean,
that presents a logical problem for me, saying that there's a being who essentially has all of God's powers,
but isn't really
right. God. Well, what would you qualify as God? Someone who is omnipotent and omniscient? That seems like that might be someone who would qualify as a God.
Right.
Now, I don't think there's lots of these beings running around. But
you don't think there's lots? Are you saying there might be some?
For argument's sake.
Okay, all right, I'll hear you.
Let's just say that there were 40 aliens running around the universe like Q, who had omnipotence. They were all powerful. They could do anything, and they were omniscient, so they knew everything.
Okay.
Why would we as humans not end up worshiping them as a god?
Right.
I mean, isn't this essentially our definition of what God is?
Yeah, and that is like one of the points I was trying to make earlier was, you know, a lower life form, which we would obviously be to them, would actually see them as a god. And if you look at going back to the ancient aliens thing on the History Channel, those beings that they say came back in the ancient times may have been worshipped as gods, and that's what they're saying. This is where our god pantheon comes from.
Yeah, so, you know, ancient Rome has all these gods. Maybe, you know, there were just tons of Qs came. And, but the whole point, what is God? God is another being.
Yes.
He's not a non-being. He is a being.
Right.
He is a being who's omnipotent and omniscient.
And let's be honest, God is alien because... He is not from this universe.
He's not our race.
Yeah.
He's not Homo sapien.
Right. Although he did create this universe, he is not from this universe. This is not his home.
So you think about this question from a slightly different angle. It's not, well, what if there was a Q who acted like God? If there was a being who had all power and all knowledge, that's kind of the definition we give to God.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want me to do with that. Now, Q, the guy from Star Trek, was not benevolent in any way.
No.
And so that's where we have he would be the spiritual equivalent of Satan. Well, not necessarily.
Well, but let's be honest. A lot of atheists or agnostic people would view our God as being non-benevolent anyway. Because, I mean, look at everything. Look at the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, we get that argument all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what we have to do is we have to take them through our cracked acronym and show them how to read the Old Testament correctly to help them understand how God is working benevolently through those situations.
Understand what the Christocentric hermeneutic is.
That's right. The Christocentric hermeneutic, how all this stuff's pointing to Jesus Christ. It's not just about don't sow two plants of one feet in one field. Don't just wear two types of cloth together. All of these things are pointing back to Christ. There's a purpose and a reason for those things. And once you understand how to properly interpret the Bible, you'll get that. That's not our topic today, though.
Right.
But there's another whole problem, and that is a God who we worship in Christian theology is categorically different than a being like Q.
Right.
Q could be stripped of his powers.
Right.
Q could make mistakes.
Yes, that was shown on the show.
Yeah. Q would sometimes regret his actions.
Right.
Any being that exists that is not a god is going to have qualitative differences compared to the God of the right. Bible?
You know, I mean, I know what the answer to this is, but yeah. does not the Old Testament say that God regretted?
Oh, are you? You're talking about when God destroyed the mm-hmm. earth in right. in yeah, in, that's what we call anthropomorphic language. Mm-hmm. Okay, God clearly knew what was going to happen with humanity, and so God identifies with humanity. I think he does feel these things, but this language, anthropomorphic language, is given to us to help us understand how God relates to us. It doesn't mean he regretted in the way like I really. Didn't see that coming.
Right.
And I shouldn't have done that.
Okay.
That's what we feel when we regret something. We regret it like, and if I could do that over again, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
That's not God's regret. God's regret is more of a pain. Wow, it happened. I'm sad. I wish this didn't have to happen. That type of regret.
Right.
And so other beings would experience regret like, I made a mistake. I wish I could go back and do it over again.
Mm-hmm.
They would have qualitative differences between them and God. And the important thing to note here is we're not just talking about worshiping any God. We're talking about specifically worshiping the Christian God of the Bible.
Right.
And so if a being came to us who was like Q, who sometimes made mistakes, who was not benevolent, we wouldn't want to worship this being.
Right.
So
yeah, no matter what he could do.
Right, because he wouldn't be the God that's represented to us from Scripture. Now, what Scripture says is that we can know what God is like through nature mm-hmm. and through Scripture. So we look to these things to find the one true God. And the evidence that we compile, the cosmological argument, points to the fact that there was someone who began this universe and right. this world. The teleological argument points to the fact that you don't get a world that's so finely tuned as this unless someone designed it.
Mm-hmm.
You get the moral argument, which shows that we couldn't have morals right and wrong in an absolute way. You get the axiological argument, you get the ontological argument, you get all these different things, and you put them together, and you get this picture of what God is really like, because these are logically valid arguments. And so if you have a being that comes along that doesn't fit these arguments, this is not going to be the God that we are talking
right.
about. We're going to be able to come to the conclusion that this is not a God who's benevolent and loving and kind. This is not a God who's all-powerful. So if what do you do if you encounter a being who is not all-powerful, who is not all-knowing, who is not benevolent, who is not kind, who makes mistakes? You go, wow, this is one powerful being,
right.
but he is not
He's
God.
He's not God, right.
Which is exactly what Jean-Luc Picard did in Star
right.
Trek.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized Q had limitations. Q would have, he kind of tried to pass himself off as God,
yes.
as humanity's judge, but they recognized that he was a flawed being, that he had limitations, and they treated him as such. And yeah. we would do the same thing.
Picard would never be able to outsmart God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But here's the thing. You know, we did have a being come to Earth that was very powerful and did a lot of miracles and in ways to show us that, hey, I am God, you know, but again, you look at the level of benevolence.
Yeah.
He matched a lot of what the Old Testament talked about as far as his kindness and his love and stuff like that and his suffering, you know, and that was the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I would be very impressed if I found an alien technology that could take a man, beat him, whip him, strip him, put a crown of thorns in his head. Have him suffer hematidrosis, so his skin was fragile, he's mm-hmm. bleeding, stab him in the heart while he's nailed to a cross,
right.
and then put his body inside a hot
right.
Palestinian grave
yeah.
for 3 days, and then have that person come back to life. That wouldn't happen. Now, we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. There's a couple other things that we really would like to point out. Also, we're going to answer Bible contradiction. We're going to get to that, I promise. So, all right, truthrevolution.tv.
That's right. You want to get there? We got past shows. We got true shots.
We'd love your questions.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love your input on the show.
Uh-huh.
Want to hear from you. And come on out to Revolution Church.
Right, 9 and 11 on Sunday.
That's right, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Probably going to be adding another service pretty soon.
Right.
5:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. on Sundays.
So right on.
You work and you can only get to a Sunday evening service. Why don't you shoot me an email or something? Let me know that you might be coming. I'll
there
be
you
looking
go.
For you. I'd like to get some interest in this. So 5:30 Sunday nights. But hey, truthrevolution.tv is our website. Revo.church is Revolution Church's website. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution! Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Sometimes people are confused. Why would God punish God for something humans did?
Right, if Jesus was God, why would God the Father punish him? And how does that magically forgive us?
The reality is we are forgiven because of God's vast mercy. Even before the cross, God's mercy was working.
So why did God punish Jesus? Romans 3 tells us plainly he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
God is just, meaning that he is fair and impartial. He should always punish wrong.
But he also wants to justify us, meaning he wants to step in and defend us.
So the way he demonstrated both his justice and his desire to help us was by sending Jesus to die and take our punishment.
The cross was a demonstration of who God really is.
That doesn't mean that there wasn't really a sacrifice. Jesus paid the ultimate price, and God forgives us through that.
Yet that punishment was to demonstrate God's justice and forgiveness.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
Was God an alien? Inquiring minds want to know.
Revo.church and TruthRevolution.tv. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
Mm-hmm.
Got lots of good stuff on there.
Right.
60-second truth shots on almost any topic you can imagine relating to whether or not Christianity is true.
Right. And if you feel like this show is actually doing you any good, or if you know anybody that does any good for, try donating. You know? Keep us on the air.
Right. That's right. Your donations keep the show going through podcasts, through radio, all that stuff. So if you really do care about the show, man, throw the show a bone.
Right.
Make sure that other people get this information. All right. Amen. Back to Star Trek. The Q problem.
Uh-huh.
Now, there is a being who has extreme powers,
mm-hmm.
who to us would look omnipotent.
Right.
Who would seem to be omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
Who isn't God.
Right.
And who we are supposed to recognize as such. Who is this? Satan. The Bible actually describes a being that is going to try to pass himself off as God, who's going to have extremely amazing powers,
right.
who's going to masquerade as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible actually acknowledges, hey, you know what? There is a creature just like this.
Right. And the Bible, even the New Testament, even describes him as the God of this age. You know,
yes, that's right.
Because, I mean, there are a lot of people. He has led a lot of people astray through different types of idolatry and stuff like that. He's always throwing things in everybody's path to try and get them off the good path.
Yeah.
You know,
and so, you know, if Satan were to show up to you and try to teach you and show that he was God, we would have ways to figure out that he is not really God.
Right.
And would come down to his character. what his goals are.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be able to see flaws in him.
Right.
All sorts of things like this.
Well, and you can also look in the way he interacted with Jesus when he was basically trying to test Jesus. He's like, hey, throw yourself off of this building. You know, yeah. Doesn't it say that the angels will help you if you do?
Yeah.
You know, and so he's basically trying to tempt God.
Eventually you get to the purpose of what's going on.
Right.
Right. Because if this being wasn't God, he would have a greater purpose in mind.
Right.
Then he wouldn't just come down to be benevolent to us all the time.
Right.
They would probably be trying to enslave us.
Right.
So this isn't going to be very hard to figure out. Wow, these beings are really powerful. They say they're God. They want us to make tacos forever. No, I don't know why this alien really likes tacos, but
right.
You get the point. All right. Hey, I got another idea.
Okay.
How to answer this. And it has to do with technology.
Okay.
We're going to get to that technology part right after this, because I think right now we need to stop and we need to answer a Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Amanda, today's Bible contradiction actually goes over four different verses.
Hello.
And it's kind of confusing, so just hang on. Here we go. Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And they went to look at the tomb. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went.
Okay.
Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought pieces so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. So the two Marys plus a third person, Salome.
Salome.
Luke 24:10. When they had come back from the tomb, they had told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to all the apostles. So it's the two Marys, Joanna, and then the others. And then still, John 21:20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So it was only Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
What gives?
On our cracked acronym, we're going to use the second C, which stands for?
Credibility.
Credibility. Anytime you read a book, I don't care if it's written by an atheist or by God himself,
mm-hmm.
you need to read it and say to yourself, this person might know what they're talking about.
Right.
And if I read something that doesn't make sense right off the bat, I probably need to dig a little deeper than just going, oh, contradiction. Oh,
right.
They're an idiot.
Right.
Right. I'm going to give them some credibility. So I read this and I don't automatically go, well, look, this guy says Mary Magdalene. The other guy says that Salome was there. The other person says Joanna was there. The other person says only Mary Magdalene was there. They contradict each other. I don't do this because if three people went into a room and they came out and one of them said, I saw a green pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And the next person came out and said, I saw a frying pan and green food dye. And another person came out and said, I saw a bowl full of batter. Everyone would say, okay, well, they must have been in a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was cooking green right. pancakes in the kitchen.
Right.
Nobody would say, you just contradicted
right.
yourself. What is it? Is it a pancake,
right.
a frying pan, or a bowl full of batter? Which one is it?
You know what's missing from this contradiction, right?
What?
Is another verse that says, Mary Magdalene absolutely did not go to the tomb.
Exactly. If we have a verse in the Bible saying Mary Magdalene wasn't there, then it would contradict these four that says she
mm-hmm.
was there.
Right.
But as it is, you have Luke chapter 24. He lists a number of ladies, including Mary Magdalene. They all list Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mother James, and the others
right.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this idea that there was this group of people. In the group was Mary Magdalene, who they all describe. Mary, the mother of James, whom both Matthew and Luke describe.
Right.
You have Salome, or Salome, who Mark describes. And you have only Mary in the book of John. So you have a number of different people. And Luke even saying, well, here's some people who went. Plus, there were others.
Right.
You have a perfectly fine explanation in saying there was just a group of them that went. And John only, he just mentioned Mary Magdalene because she was the one who played the largest role in Jesus' ministry.
Right.
You have other people like Matthew saying Mary Magdalene and the other Mary because those were people that he wanted to talk about. You have Mark who's trying to be more detailed, including some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, who is the doctor, includes the most detail
right.
as a doctor might, right? And he lists the most number of people plus and others.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a football game and you say, yeah, Dave and I were there. Really? There was only two people at the game?
Right. Yeah, we enjoyed it. We sat everywhere.
We sat everywhere.
Right.
But no, you don't do that. You explain the people that you want to explain to get your point across.
Right.
You don't have to list exhaustively everyone that was there. Right. And that's all this is doing.
Right. And another thing, J. Werner Wallace, he's a detective.
Cold case.
Yes. He has said if he interviews several witnesses and they all have the same exact story.
Yeah.
Then he's thinking something's up.
Tampering.
Right.
But if they all have a variation on the theme, but they don't contradict.
Yes. He says that is actually very common in the investigative world. And so that's not something we should worry about.
Right. And he says that's what you would expect to find if they're telling a true story.
Amen.
Some details that are different, don't necessarily contradict, but some details that are different that show that they all have their own perspective on the same real event.
Right.
And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right, back to aliens.
Okay, so they go in and they argue that, well, there could be people with extreme technology that come down. And to us, those people with extreme technology would look just like God. Now, that's an interesting case. I see where they're going with it.
Right.
Like if someone came to us with matter transporters and they disappeared and appeared at will.
Right.
We would probably be like, whoa, what are they?
Right.
I get that, but I'd like us to point out two things. Number one, the technology is imaginary. The technology that is making us think of possibly these people looking godlike is all imaginary.
Right.
We don't have anything that could even come close to doing this right now.
Right.
But second of all, this is not what we find in the history of the world. When Christopher Columbus landed in America, or whatever it was called back then, the natives did not come to him going, wow, you have these guns.
Mm-hmm.
You must be a god.
Right.
You have technology that we don't understand. No, no. When missionaries went to South America and they flew airplanes and they had weapons that could do magical things. They could light fire with their hands with a click of a button. None of the natives in the rainforest looked at these beings and went, oh, you can fly and create fire on a whim. You must be God. They all went, well, you're a human just like me, but I'm going to kill you and try to figure out how you've done it.
Right.
Right. The history of our own world shows that superior technology alone is not enough to convince someone that you're God.
Right.
It's enough to convince people to kill you, but that's not the same thing as being God.
Happens every day.
So I think that there's a little bit of a logical problem there.
Right.
I just don't think we'd be so foolish as to confuse technology with deity.
Right, because like you said earlier in the show, it's all about the benevolence of the being. You know, if we have a God that, let me tell you something, our God has placed us here and he's made sure that we are safe and that everything works just right in order to make our race flourish or our species flourish, and then he's going to come down and start wiping people out.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, I don't
get that.
That's
not a God.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like we said at the beginning, let's say there was a being who was omnipotent, all-powerful, and there was a being who also was omniscient. They knew everything, and they were also kind and loving, and they also made a planet and put us there and allowed us to live there, and they also made it work so that our planet was in the right place, we had the right climate, and that people were made with the right... They could mess with their molecules to heal us when we were sick, and they were all-powerful and all these things that we just talked about. If there was a being like this, that's kind of the definition of God.
Right.
Right. So if there was a being like this, that's who God is. I mean, that's what we call God. Now, if there's some sort of being like this who is finite, you've blown my mind. So if you can find a being who is totally omnipotent, totally all-powerful, totally knowing everything, is all-loving, has our best interests in mind all the time, who would put us on a planet, who would make a planet, who would put the planet in the right place just for us, but isn't God, then you win, I lose.
Right. And the being has to be non-fictional, by the way.
Non-fictional.
Yeah.
Can't be made up.
Right.
All right, thanks for joining us today.
It was kind of off-topic, but I mean, kind of weird, but that's fine.
Star Trek.
You know?
On Truth Revolution.
Right.
TruthRevolution.tv. Go ahead and ask your questions. We'd love to have them, whether they're serious or wacky, or if you just want to poke fun at me and Dave, especially Dave.
Or that guy.
So, thanks for joining us. TruthRevolution.tv. And also get out to Revolution Church, because we are all about learning about God together.
Amen.
We get in the Bible every week. I preach. We do music. Nobody has to stand up and say, hi, I'm a guest here. You just sneak in, sit in a seat. Some people are going to shake your hand probably and say, hi, welcome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Get some coffee. sit down and learn about Jesus with us.
Amen.
And it's pretty simple. It's really, really an easy place to learn about God,
right.
But a place that's also going to challenge you and encourage you to be better as God wants you to be.
Amen.
So, all right. God loves you. Have a great week. Coming out to Revolution Church.
God bless.